Can you hear me? Good morning. Hey, sit down, you crazy people. Celebrating so well this morning. What an incredible day it is. The pinnacle of what Christians have long called Holy Week, leading up to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, which we celebrate today. The most significant moment in the Christian calendar throughout the year. This past week, I was wandering through our church property. We often, as our staff, we walk through and pray. And I found myself wandering over to the cemetery, of all places, that is attached to our church property here. Cemetery Road gets its name from this cemetery. And I don't know about you, but when I go to a cemetery as a pastor, it often happens that I'm in cemeteries. I find myself looking for the oldest gravestone. Have you done that before, right? You look at the dates. You're like, wow, this person was born in 1900. This other person is born in the late 1800s or 1700s even. Well, I am here to tell you that just a few steps away, a woman named Mary Elkington was born in 1696 and is buried just over there. 1696. Think about it. Mount Laurel did not exist. Cemetery Road was probably dirt at that point. Horses were traveling, cars were not around, and it was still 80 years before we would call this the United States of America. And as I walked through the cemetery, I thought to myself, as I was thinking about all the different people there, they're all stories. Each person here has a story, and it's only a small tombstone that represents their entire life, but everyone has a story. You know, some people lived over 100 years, if I did the math correctly. And there were others, sadly, who their lives were cut very short. And then there was a third category of people who had the first years of their life etched on the tombstone with a dash and then space for when they would die. That's an ominous reminder that what is coming is death. And as I was walking through it and thinking through all of these things, I thought maybe people have not thought of their lives as a story. You often do that when you get to hear, maybe at a funeral or someone's graveside service, you hear a little bit of what their life was about. And the questions that come up, what's the point of this life? Does my life really matter at all? What kind of story is my life telling in the first place? What happens after this life? Does anything here last? The very first followers of Jesus who formed what was called the early church gathered around a set of traditions and rhythms and practices that allowed them to remember and commemorate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This is such a significant event, they did not want to forget it. And so they set up, and for 2,000 years, churches like ours around the world celebrate Easter on Sunday. One way the early church remembered this death and resurrection was through what's called baptisms. Baptism is a perfect visual of the saving power of Jesus in someone's life. People's life stories are completely changed when Jesus enters their life and the Holy Spirit begins to change them. And so this morning, we are joining with this ancient tradition that's been celebrated on Easter through baptism with many churches around the world. Baptism is a symbol of what God has done in someone's life. It doesn't make someone a Christian. It declares they already are a Christian. And actually, these waters up here, though they have been warmed, they are not holy. They come from Mount Laurel MUA for a small fee. We have them here this morning for you. But you'll hear us talk about baptism, and we'll declare, as we plunge the person under the water, we'll say, in the likeness of his death, the death of Jesus, and bring them back up in the likeness of his resurrection, identifying our stories in with the story of Jesus, the Bible's grand story. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians to a small early church in the city of Ephesus, and they were gathering there, and what was at risk was them forgetting what happened and who they were. And so he writes in Ephesians chapter 2, he urges them, remember, you were dead in the trespasses and sins. You had no spiritual pulse. You had nothing to offer. In fact, what you were was opposed to God, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince, the power of the air, God's enemy, Satan. among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. We were just living on our own and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then verse 4 happens. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We have union and oneness, and we're in his likeness now. There is a pulse. It's by his grace that we are saved. Just 2 days ago on Good Friday, a number of us gathered here in the sanctuary to commemorate, to remember, and yes, to celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this in chapter 15, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That was the plan. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with what the Bible has always said would happen. The penalty that we deserved for our sin, Jesus paid it once and for all on the cross. The separation that we had from God, Jesus on the cross restored our relationship to God. The end of our earthly lives is now just the beginning of eternity lived with him. I want you to think back with me to the cemetery again, just a few steps away. Maybe you'll pass it on your way out this morning. There are stones and there are rows of people that have died and now are buried there. Their names, their dates, representing stories, born this year, died in this year. And each stone is a reminder that our stories have an end. But there is one grave that changed the course of human history. This grave was not marked with a stone in the ground and by dates and where it was, but by a stone rolled away. Yes, a grave that doesn't hold a lifeless body, but declares Jesus' victory over death. And what we're celebrating today on Easter, what you'll see symbolized here in baptism, is that the tomb is still empty and that Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. And the truth that was true for the early followers of Jesus is still true. An invitation is available to put your faith and trust in him, not just then, but now today. And so this morning, we'll hear from different people and their life stories. You'll hear of their life before Christ. You'll hear of their life after Christ and what God has done in their life. The reminder of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You'll also notice a shirt that they're wearing that says, "Forgiven." Again, they're not being forgiven as they get baptized this morning. Jesus has already done that, paid for their sins, past, present, and future. They're merely identifying or symbolizing something that has already happened. In John chapter 11, Jesus makes an incredible statement that reminds the followers that were there. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he gives a really personal invitation. Do you believe this? The people this morning have put their faith and trust in the Lord, believe that this is true, and their lives have been transformed. So you're going to hear these stories this morning, and you'll see it displayed in baptism.
It's wonderful to be here. This is Kyle Gimble. We are celebrating today. Which one of you kids just asked whether it's cold in here? You did? You want to see? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not cold. We're all good. You jumped in, huh? Kyle, is it your, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
I have.
We're going to see a video that tells us a little bit about Kyle's story.
So my name is Kyle, and this is my testimony. Growing up, I was raised in a Catholic home where we attended Mass every week. I received all my sacraments, and I even attended 2 years of Catholic high school. And yet, despite all that, I never really had a great connection to God or my faith, really. I always believed in God the Father, but I even doubted the true identity of Jesus Christ. And to be honest, I really don't remember much discussion about him in my household growing up. I guess it was probably my late teens, early 20s, I really fell out of what little faith that I did actually have. I began to spiral down into the dark world of alcohol and drug addiction. And, that lifestyle and the guilt and the shame that came with it really drove a bigger wedge between myself and God. Eventually, I hit bottom, and I was blessed with sobriety through a 12-step program. And even though I always attributed God and credited him for pulling me out of the fire, my relationship with him still remained rather superficial. It was more of an acquaintance, and it really remained that way for decades after that. As a result, I lived a rather secular, sinful life that was fueled by, narcissism and selfishness. And as I continued to lose my battle with anger and pride and selfishness and lust, I really started to hurt the people around me that truly mean the world to me. And this just made even more guilt and shame pile up and really drove a bigger wedge between me and God. A few years back, my wife and I felt a calling to find a new path to the Lord. And we both received a lot of signs that seemed to pull us towards FCC. So we gave it a try, and it was like nothing that either of us ever experienced in the churches that we grew up in. And it really didn't take long for us to feel like we belonged here, like we had a deep connection here. But I still felt stuck. And despite my upbringing, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I never actually read the Bible. And when I would look around at all the people whose faith I admired, I realized that they all had in common this deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they all seemed to attribute being immersed in his word as the catalyst for that relationship. So I made a decision. I was finally gonna actually read the New Testament and study it. And in the process of reading the Gospels, I learned all about Jesus and how he suffered and died for all his people, not just the righteous. I came to realize that all that guilt and shame that I had in me was from me and not from him. And as a result, I was finally able to repent and ask for his forgiveness. And I felt this immense pressure taken off of me and lifted off of my shoulders. And I felt a freedom that I had never felt before in my life. And I know that's all from my relationship that I have today with Jesus Christ. So today I wish to be baptized, because again, I can feel that calling from him that this is what he wants me to do. And he's always been so faithful to me that it's only right that I finally submit to his will. And I think this is a big part of that.
Kyle, is it your desire today to testify to this shame-busting faith you talk about through baptism?
It is.
It is. We celebrate, and it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, and in the likeness of his resurrection. Thank you. We're going to invite Jackie to come in. This is the other half of Kyle. This is Jackie Gimbel. There's another step there. Jackie, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
All right, we're going to see a little bit of Jackie's story.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline Gimbel, and I go by Jackie.
and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Catholic family, and I got all of my sacraments. We went to church every Sunday, but I never really felt that I connected, that I could follow the teachings of the church, and just never really felt like I belonged, that I, you know, was getting anything out of it. We went, and I wanted to be part, but I felt like I was just checking off a box. I continued to go through, even through marriage, just searching. I wanted to be more connected with God, but I just, there was something missing. And one day I was at one of my son's sporting events, and I was talking with a friend that was also a similar situation. She grew up Catholic, and she, I guess, couldn't connect either. And we were just going back and forth, and she said to me, you know, you should try my church. It's here in Mount Laurel, and it's FCC. And so my husband and I came, and we brought our boys, and instantly we just felt like we belonged here. We connected with people. We were learning the Bible because, believe it or not, neither of us, growing up Catholic, read a Bible. So we just really liked it, and we've been coming for a bunch of years now. Growing up, I've always been very ambitious, and I was blessed with a strong sense of pushing through and just always trying to reach my goals to be successful. But that desire kind of took over, and it caused me to seek approval from others. It caused me to look for approval at work, how successful I could be at work, whether it was how many activities my kids were in, how well they did in school, how clean my house was, and how many arguments I could win with my husband, or really anyone for that matter, you know, always one step up, always, you know, being in control. So as we got more and more involved here at FCC, I joined Bible studies, I joined the prayer walk, I joined the women's conference groups and just doing stuff as much as I could. I just really couldn't get enough. And this was really unlike me. You know, being vulnerable, asking people to pray for me, asking people to help me when normally I just would push through and just do everything myself. So one thing that I found that helped me was prayer. I started asking people for prayer for me, for my family. I was praying all the time. If I wake up through the middle of the night, I just pray myself to sleep. I pray on my long drive to work. I pray at my kids' school. I pray here. I love to pray for people, and we started praying as a family. Over the past year, I've learned, I've seen prayer answered in my life. I've witnessed how the Lord is always with me. I've learned that the success of my boys and the success of my relationships have nothing to do with my grit or my determination or me forcing it. It has everything to do with the Lord. I mean, putting my boys, putting my life at His feet every day and really trusting. I really say, you know, I trust you, Lord. I know that, I believe that no matter what happens, it's not me anymore. It really is Him. And I believe that. And I really believe that that is from prayer and just submerging myself in prayer. You know, I was questioning my place at work, and I feel like Jesus put me there for a reason. He put me there to pray for my colleagues. And I carry a little Bible in the back of my pocket every day to remain grounded and grateful. And I take it out and I read it, and I tell my colleagues that I pray for them. And some of them like that and some of them don't. But I'm that person that, you know, I'm there. I believe I'm there to spread His word and to show, you know, His light in a lot of the darkness of where I am. And I'm just proud to do it, and I'm happy. And I'm here today, and I want to be baptized to show, you know, my love for the Lord and my renewed relationship with Him since even, you know, knowing Him as a child. But it's come so much farther now. I have a connection, I have a love, I have a relationship. And I just want, you know, to express that, to be grateful, and to thank Him that how powerful that He's taught me the power of prayer is.
Beautiful. Jackie, is it your desire today to publicly testify to your faith and, as you said, your love for him and your relationship with him through baptism?
Yes, it is.
All right. Jackie, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death and in the likeness of his resurrection. This is Brianna. Welcome Brianna down. Brianna, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? All right, let's watch a little bit of Brianna's story.
Hi, my name is Brianna, and this is my testimony. I grew up going to a Methodist church with my grandmother. Neither of my parents believed in God, so going to church with her was kind of my only time that I was exposed. I also went to a summer camp every summer where I was also exposed a lot to God. I would go every single summer from third grade until I graduated high school. And I would go for a whole week. And during my high school years at some point is where I gave my life to Jesus, and it was the best decision I've ever made. During the pandemic, my church had closed, so I didn't go to church for a few years until about 2 years ago when I started coming here to FCC. So I kind of, I feel like I lost touch with God a little bit. And now that I'm coming here, I feel so much more connected with him. I can't say that my walk with Jesus has always been easy. When I was 8 years old, my mother unexpectedly passed away, and this was a very trying time in my life. I often found myself questioning God of why he would do this to me, or why, if he loved me and cared about me so much, why would he let this happen in my life? After a lot of growing, a lot of maturing, I feel like I'm at peace with a lot of things, and even through all of that, he still walked by my side and led me through everything that was going on. After giving my life to him and trusting in him, I have so much peace, and I want to be baptized today to declare my love for him and what he has done in my life.
Brianna, is it your desire today to testify of this love you have for Christ through baptism?
Yes.
It's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection. All right, Bill, you're up. We're having a party here today, folks. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Bill, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
Let's hear a little bit of Bill's story.
Hello, my name is Bill. I was born an Episcopalian. My parents had me baptized as a child. My family had been members of the Trinity Church since the early 1800s. Over in Vincentown. I served on the altar of the church and it became a mundane task after a while. At 21 years old, I moved away from home and stopped attending church. As I went on, I encountered many acquaintances, made new friends, and was invited to their churches. I had been met in many different churches and enjoyed them all, but never followed up on it. That's as far as the visit went. In 2019, I met my wife, Savannah. She also was a member of this church, and telling me she was a Christian made me very nervous that I wouldn't meet up with her standards of her faith. I felt safe with her, and we had many intimate conversations about my difficulties and my disappointments with my faith. I felt I needed what she had. And I asked, can I attend church? And I went. The kindness of everybody, the sermon was awesome. Pastor Mark was awesome. The feeling I had around me was awesome. We had a few more conversations, Savannah and I, and we got to a point that, Bill, this is getting a little bit beyond what I'm capable of helping you with. I would like to make a suggestion and have you speak with Pastor Mark. So I made a meeting with him, and he patiently listened to me intently. Pastor Mark gave me confidence in the Christian belief and the life that is soon to come. As time moved on, I started feeling a guilt. Things were very different in my past experiences with the other church in early life. I felt that I was betraying my parents. I felt I was betraying my ancestors. I felt I was betraying Trinity Church itself. I went to my brother, Crit. He's an awesome fella. And I told him my story, and he said, Billy, these are the same feelings that I had. And by the way, I'm saved. Well, that was really something. So I knew, he says, it's okay. I'm happy for you. So on I moved. I'm looking forward to Savannah, FCC, my new FCC friends, to be mentally involved, spiritually, and actively involved in my new Christian life. I've decided to be baptized today. My parents spoke on my behalf as a child, and now I speak for myself as an adult. I want to say I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to go ahead and live the life of a Christian, and life goes on from here.
Bill, is it your desire today to publicly testify of this beautiful faith through baptism?
I'm ready.
I can tell you're ready. This guy was here early today. He was ready to go. It's fine. Bill, it is our privilege to witness and to come alongside you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his resurrection.
Suki's going to join me in here.
Suki, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about it.
My name's Sutman. I'm 19 years old. My testimony is that at age 4, I got diagnosed with mild autism. I was happy as in elementary school. I was always loved to go outside. But then, like fifth grade year, I started to feel depressed. This one day in school, I was eating at a cafeteria with my friend Noah. We were just talking, but then I started to feel depressed, feeling sad. Then like I told my friend Noah, it was nice knowing you. I gave him a hug. I went out of school. Then school went on lockdown. I went outside. I was running. I kept running till there was a near lake by, and I was about to commit suicide at age 11. Then after I went to like a hospital for like one day to do like a evaluation. Then a few days after I went back to school. Then moving to like middle school. It got so bad, I was doing quarantine, everything got shut down. I started to watch pornography, I started feeling depressed. I'm starting to feel like sad, not loving other people. Then moving forward to like in winter time, winter track, the first week of practice, I felt sad. I broke down crying during practice. One of my coach asked me what happened. I talked to him. But then after like a few days after that, I had suicidal thoughts. I went to like the hospital, I stayed for 1 week, end of my junior year, like 2024. I was like depressed, I was sad, even in the summertime too. I just didn't feel love and peace, didn't really feel love. But then like in August, then I got like my Bible. I went to a bookstore, then I saw this Bible. It was like a free Bible, so I decided to take the Bible. I even knew about the Bible at that time. I didn't know about Jesus. I started reading like Genesis, beginning of the Bible, beginning of the story of God's creation. It was so beautiful. I just felt love and peace. But beginning of my senior year, I started to feel more happy, started to feel more joy. Even I went to this club called Christian Fellowship community, like Christian Fellowship Student Athletes. I went to that club. It really helped me out. It was my first time, like last, it was my first time going to like this show at FCC. One of my friends brought me here and like, I felt like love and peace. I even helped out in the Timothy scene. I met a friend named Josh. I met a new friend and doing like youth group. He told me about youth group. Then I met Jared, like the youth pastor here. And like, he really helped me out. And like, I started going to youth group one night and I felt so happy to hang out with guys. I felt happy to make friends. Then like a few months later, that was ups and downs my relationship with Jesus. It was mostly like trying to set my heart to him, but with love, knowing that he loves me, he forgave my sins. Then like in June, I started help out with VBS. I graduated from high school. I started going on a missionary trip to West Virginia. It was not that bad. I really helped out, like Jesus really opened my heart to like serve other people. Then like, the whole reason I wanted to get baptized because I wanted to clear my faith to people that like, I just love Jesus, that he changed my life. He can change anyone else's life. Doesn't matter if you're a criminal, doesn't matter if you commit murder, doesn't matter if you did horrible stuff in your life to your family members or yourself. He will still chase after you with love and peace.
Suki, is it your desire today to publicly testify that relationship with Christ through baptism?
Yes.
It is my absolute joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, likeness of his resurrection. This is Camila. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I have.
All right, let's hear about it.
Hi guys, my name is Camila and I'm getting baptized today. So to get started, I wanted to share a verse, Genesis 50:20, and it says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." And looking back at my story and what God has done, that verse really came to life for me. So when I was younger, my family went to church and I couldn't really grasp the concept of God or what a relationship with him would be like. But what I could find value in was the impact God made in my family. Now, fast forward a couple years and to my preteen, teenage years, and little by little, I feel like that impact kind of became less and less. Life got busy and we moved, so we no longer went to that church anymore. And honestly, I felt like I had everything I needed. And so I just really didn't care about, you know, thinking about God or going to church or anything like that. I had a beautiful home. I had everything I wanted at school, the clothes I wanted to wear, and just all things attention from boys, attention from friends. And I was really just consumed with myself. And at this time, I didn't really have any problems and I had everything I wanted, but for some reason, I was the least happiest I've ever been in my life. And now I know it was because I had a God-sized hole in my heart that I tried to fill with everything but Jesus. It wasn't until high school where I kind of felt like my world was falling apart. I was 15 when my mom's battle with mental health and addiction started, and that snowballed into some serious financial issues for my family. And not only that, but then I was diagnosed with a disorder that really affects your hormones and your appearance. So basically, I could no longer find identity in the fleeting things of vanity, and I started becoming a slave to the fear of what's gonna happen to my mom. I remember the first time I actually talked to God. It was the night that my dad had a conversation with me and my older brother, and he kind of led us into the adult struggles that he did such an amazing job at protecting us from for so long. I think it was the Lord's timing that at this point I was able to be let in into those problems. But my dad let us in into those problems, and then I just went to my room, and that was the first time I actually talked to God, like he could hear me. And I remember the exact prayer. It was nothing special. It was just, "God, where are you? And God, if you're real, we really need you right now." And the reason I decided to pray that night was because I remembered the impact that he made on my family before when he was in our lives. So that was the only thing I knew to resort to. And shortly after, God's timing is perfect, and I attended a winter weekend retreat. And at this winter weekend retreat, the message was about no longer being slaves to fear. And that was when I realized that I was a slave to all the fears and the worries in my life that I was carrying, that I didn't need to carry because Jesus wanted to carry them for me. And I realized that Jesus wants to walk through life with me and hold my hand through all of the hard times. So honestly, fear lost its power, because when you really know Jesus, you trust Jesus. And when you trust Jesus, you realize that death even loses its sting, because you know the hope of salvation. And that honestly brought so much freedom to my life. So that day when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I accepted the freedom and the gift that it is to know Him. Knowing God did not fix all my problems. Honestly, life, the circumstances didn't get better, but my joy was better. I have so much more joy now than I did before, because now I know Jesus. And just to bring you back to that verse, that what the enemy meant for evil, God used for good, because all the trials, that is what led me to know the Lord. And now God is the one who fills that God-sized hole in my heart. And God is the one who gives me this unshakable identity in being a daughter of the King. And He is the one who carries the weight of all of my fears. So the gift isn't a good life, but the gift is knowing a good God. And I want to get baptized today because of the freedom that Jesus gave me when I surrendered my life to Him.
Camille, is it your desire today to publicly testify that relationship through baptism?
Yes.
It is my absolute joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death. Likeness of the resurrection.
Today we welcome a great man and a great story. Paul, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
We get to hear a little bit about that via video.
My name's Paul, and this is my baptism testimony. So my mom and my sister Phyllis raised us to believe in Jesus. We would read the Bible together, and we would speak about Christ, but we never really had like a home church to go to. I always believed in God, but I never really had a personal relationship with Jesus. In 2007, my sister Phyllis, she died of cancer, and we had to watch over a year as she kind of wasted away. And we prayed for miracles that just never really happened. And at the time, we were devastated, but I don't think I should have been, because I know now that she knew the Lord, she knew Jesus. And she was the one that brought Jesus Christ into our lives as children. Then in 2011, we lost my mom. After that, I began questioning everything in my life. I searched for answers more in science than in religion. I kind of ran away from religion a little bit. I was looking for answers to like where we come from and why we're here and how like everything began. I even had someone try and fail to convince me that I was an atheist. But no matter how much I questioned, I could always see the hand of God in creation. Around that same time, I faced a life-threatening illness of my own. And again, through God's grace and a lot of praying and promises, I made it through that. Not completely unscathed, but grateful to be alive. That experience brought me back to Christ. I realized at that moment I had always believed in the teachings of Jesus. And that was at the point where it hit me that if I believe in Jesus Christ and His teachings, then I believe in His gospel. I believe in His life, His death on the cross, His resurrection, and my salvation through His sacrifice. With that foundation, everything in my life began to change. I started looking at the world differently. I treated people differently. I looked at my own actions differently and began striving to become a better version of myself. Not because I could ever be worthy of Jesus' sacrifice, but because I was grateful for it. Then God worked what I believe is one of the greatest miracles in my life. He brought me my Brazilian nut, my wife Alessiana. shortly after we started dating, she had asked me if I wanted to go to church on Easter. Little did I know that it was at 6 a.m. in the morning. And so that brought me to FCC, a little bleary-eyed and under-caffeinated. And for the first time in my life, at that service, I felt truly on fire for Jesus and the gospel. I began reading my Bible more consistently and going to church on a regular basis. Just under 2 years ago, Pastor Ben married us. And on our wedding day, we promised to keep Christ at the center of our marriage. Today, I'm getting baptized as a public declaration that I surrender my life fully to Jesus, my Savior, who forgave me, who loved me in my sin, and pursued me my entire life. This baptism is me keeping my promise to my wife and to my Lord to live fully for Christ.
So where's the Brazilian nut? Right there. I turned to him and I said, did she know you said that? We're all good. Paul, is it your desire today to publicly testify to this beautiful faith and story through baptism?
Yes.
It's an honor, Paul, to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, likeness of his resurrection. Thank you. It's an honor. We're going to have Lisa come. We welcome Lisa. You can step down because I'm not secure enough for you to stand on that thing. Lisa, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
We hear a little story about Lisa's faith.
Hi, my name's Lisa, and I'm really excited to be sharing my testimony with you today. And a little background on me. I grew up Catholic. I prayed at night sometimes, but went to church on Easter and Christmas, but I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And I would say about maybe 10 years ago, my brother started introducing Jesus to our family. He started talking about the Lord more and more. It became just so apparent how the Lord moved through him. Slowly, one by one, our family just started giving their lives to Jesus. The faith that my brother had was really contagious. So I met my husband, and he had been saved years before we met. And it was very clear as well how his relationship with the Lord affected his life. He had gone through some really hard situations, and really, he really relied on God during those times. And he trusted the Lord with everything. And I found myself again just seeing the peace that he had in his life, and I just really wanted the same thing. Like, I craved that kind of peace and not being afraid. I didn't want to be afraid of, like, the little things or the big things, death or sickness. I desperately knew that I needed the Lord, and I knew I needed to trust him. I wanted my life to change like theirs had. Over the past decade, I really could just look back and see how the Lord was calling me to him. And I would look at all these believers in my life, and they didn't experience the type of worry and fear that I felt like I had. And I felt like I was waiting for this, you know, certain moment to publicly declare my salvation. And I didn't really have that until I looked back and could see the transformation in my own life. I always just felt like my faith wasn't strong enough for me to be baptized. but I knew that I had been saved. I was waiting for this moment, this specific moment, and it wasn't until I looked back and I realized how I spoke had changed, and the clothing that I wore had changed, and my heart had changed, and I started thanking God for my blessings and turning to God when life felt too hard. I really knew that it was time to get baptized when I started looking forward to eternity. Like, I knew that this earthly life wasn't everything, and I thank Jesus for revealing that truth to me. And looking back, I know that through all these years and through my entire life, that God met me where I was, and He led me to the peace of knowing Him. And today I'm getting baptized because my faith is imperfect, but Jesus is.
That's the first time I got to see that video. I promise we'll get to your baptism in a second. I just, in my heart, like before God, believe that there is people in here right now that so resonated with what Lisa was processing before Christ, and longing for the very things she described after Christ. And you're here and you might feel like this is a funny room of really energetic people, and we're not going to disagree with you on that. But we do just want to say, this personal relationship that you keep hearing people talk about, it's real. The single greatest part of Easter is that Jesus Christ is not dead right now. And through these lives, we get to hear of that testimony. But just know, the same one that has loved and led Lisa, He's after you too. And His love is big enough to include you. All right, we're back. Wow, it's beautiful. Lisa, as you testified, do you desire this to be the moment that you publicly testify of your faith in Jesus through baptism?
Yes.
It is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death, and the likeness of His resurrection. Will you help me welcome Jess? Jess, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Let's hear a little bit about that.
Hi, my name is Jessica, and me and my family have been attending FCC for about a year now. As a baby, I was baptized Catholic, so I grew up going to a Catholic church with my grandmother. Neither of my parents really talked to us about God or Jesus, but my grandmother was very dedicated to her faith and her church. My childhood was unfortunately not much of a childhood. Without sending you down a very long and traumatic road, let's just say I had to skip out on being a kid, because as the oldest sibling, somebody had to be the parent in my family. Growing up, I wrestled with my beliefs a lot. I knew there was a God, but time and time again, I would find myself doubting Him, because how could a life be this awful for a child? I would pray and beg for change, and nothing would happen. So when that didn't work, I would try to take matters into my own hands by doing unthinkable things for a 12-year-old. It was then, in those darkest moments, when He would answer. Multiple times, in the simplest ways, He would stop me mid-step from doing something I could never take back. Even though I would have these moments of clarity, they always seemed fleeting, because my life was still my life, and as a child, I could not see past that. I believed in God, or at least I wanted to believe in Him. I wanted to feel connected to someone so that I would not feel so alone. I attended church with my grandmother whenever I was with her on a Sunday, but I never left feeling fulfilled or connected to anything. When I was a teenager, I attended a Christian church with my stepmom, and for the first time, I saw that church could be different and more than what I was used to. Unfortunately, quickly I learned that some of the people in that church were not very kind. So between that and my church experience as a child, I kind of gave up on trying to find a church to attend. Fast forward to March of 2025. My husband and I had actually been talking about wanting to take our daughters to church since we came to the Nativity the December prior in 2024. We realized after the Nativity that year that we didn't know how to go about answering the questions that our girls were starting to ask. We had questions that we wanted answers to ourselves, but we also wanted our girls to be able to get the answers that they had questions to. Our first service at FCC just so happened to be a Baptism Sunday. I sat and listened to these people, some of which were just teenagers, speaking so vulnerably and so proudly about what their faith meant to them, and quickly realized that falling in and out of faith was a lot more common than I thought, which was so reassuring to me. I admired the way that they could verbally put into words what their faith in God and Jesus meant to them, because even for me, in the moments where I feel closest to God, I have always struggled to really verbalize or find the right words to express what He means to me. One girl in particular stood out to me that day. Even though her situations and experiences were so different than mine, the way that she expressed her experience hit my core. Somehow I could relate. I left that day feeling really good for the first time in a very long time. And I listened to my daughters express in the car ride how much fun they had and what they learned, and it just added to my joy. My husband said in one of our many talks about the future that everyone has a God-shaped hole in their hearts, and you can try to fill it with a million different things, but it will never truly be filled if it's not being filled by your faith, God, and Jesus. And he's right. My emptiness was filled that day, and I never want to see a day where that spot is not filled with Jesus. I made the decision to get baptized today because even though I still have so much to learn, and I might not always be able to find the right words to verbalize what my faith means to me, I feel confident in the fact that I can take the action approach. I can actively try every day to learn more about God and Jesus to help me grow in my faith. I can try my best every day to live the way that He intended me to live, with the knowledge I have now that sometimes that might be messy and I might fall short, and that's okay. But most importantly, and the reason I'm here today, I can choose to physically show Him what He means to me by completely giving myself over to Him and getting baptized today.
Jess, is it your desire today to publicly testify to this honest, raw, and beautiful faith in Christ through baptism?
Yes.
Jess, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of His death, in the likeness of His resurrection.
We're going to have Lauren up next. Lauren, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about that story.
I grew up in a Christian household and got saved at a very young age, but being so young, I didn't entirely understand God's place in my life or what life as a Christian would look like. As I've grown older, my parents and members of the church have served as great role models and mentors who have guided me along my journey with Christ. One particular period of my life that led to a lot of spiritual growth began in my sophomore year of high school. I started off the year with the prideful notion in the back of my mind that I had everything figured out for the rest of high school. I piled up on responsibilities, extracurriculars, and a heavy academic course load, thinking I could tackle them all. But within the first month of school, I realized I was unable to accomplish everything that I'd imagined I would. I had to start cutting back, and I felt like I'd completely failed. And because my identity was rooted so deeply in achieving everything that I'd imagined I would, I began to have a growing sense that I was losing myself and that I didn't know who I was. I started to think, if I couldn't handle all these responsibilities, who was I? I knew that my identity was supposed to be found in Christ, but I kind of put that to the side and instead tried to reclaim who I thought I was before. This wasn't a direct or conscious decision, but it happened after consistently searching elsewhere instead of turning to God. I became obsessed with myself and rebuilding what I thought was my identity. But of course, this just filled me with selfishness, discontentment, and bitterness at the disconnect between what I imagined and reality. In the summer after my sophomore year, my discontentment with myself and nearly everything just filled all of my thoughts. One night, my family and I went out for dinner, and I just kept propagating all of these negative thoughts through my head, and it showed outwardly through my interactions and behavior, which were filled with the same negativity. On the long car ride back home, my family gently called out the negative changes they had seen in me. My bitterness, selfishness, and what I hadn't realized, my fear over the lack of control I felt in my life. I knew I had to turn things around. My brother redirected me to the Lord, as he told me that I needed to put my trust and confidence in something greater than myself, which was God. In August of that year, one of Pastor Mark's sermons helped me learn how to live this out and walk with the Lord. One thing that really stood out to me was the idea that I could understand and theoretically agree with God's perspective, but that didn't necessarily mean that I was living out His word. I had to pick what was right over what I wanted to do and pick His will over mine. I needed to surrender everything and give up control to Him. That sermon brought a lot of clarity to me. There wasn't a complex or fancy formula to being a good Christian. It was just about allowing the Lord to work in my life and surrendering everything, whether that was my desires, worries, and fear. Just surrendering it to Him because He has the best possible plan and because He is worthy. That was in 2024, and in the time since then, I feel I've grown much closer to the Lord. I'm still far from looking like Christ, but I know that every day He's shaping me more and more to look like the image that He has set for me. I'm sure in my life I'll continue to make mistakes, face sin, and encounter difficulties, but because of His love and forgiveness, I'll know whenever they come that I'm walking through them with the Lord. And when I come through the other side, I'll look a little bit more like Him. I now know that my identity is found in the Lord, not in however much I can accomplish or the circumstances around me. No matter how much the world around me changes, He will remain the same loving and steadfast God. I want to get baptized today to publicly declare my faith in Jesus Christ and make a commitment to living out His will.
Lauren, is it your desire today to publicly testify to all these people that through baptism of that faith in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
It is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the likeness of His death, likeness of His resurrection. Next up, we have Kaylin. Oh, you're taller in the water. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about it.
Hi, I'm Kaylin Faith. I'm a sophomore in high school, and today I get to share my testimony. I grew up in a Christian household and was taught about Jesus from a very young age. I got saved when I was 8 years old and have had a relationship with God ever since then. But only about 3 years ago, I started taking my relationship with God seriously. These past few years, my relationship with God hasn't been perfect, and during those years, some difficult things have happened in my life, which really affected my relationship with Him. A verse that has really helped me during those years is Romans 8:18, which says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." This verse has reminded me that no matter how hard a situation can be, that God will bring good out of it. Something else that has really helped me reconnect my relationship with God has been coming out to the youth group at FCC. This has truly shown me what it's like to have a community that is on fire for God. The missions trips that I've gone on with the youth group have also really opened my eyes and given me opportunities that I've never thought I'd have before. Through youth group and the missions trips, I've been blessed to have a friend group that's rooted in Christ. One main thing that I've struggled with is getting uncomfortable for Christ. Many times I've had the option to do things for God that I've turned down because they're out of my comfort zone. But I've realized that if I keep doing things that I'm comfortable in, there won't be a change in my life. It's when we get out of our comfort zone, that's when we really start to grow and see the change that's happening in us and around us. This past summer, I was asked to speak about Panther, the high school missions trip in West Virginia, for Youth Sunday. I first questioned why I was asked to speak about this because I'm not good at speaking in front of people, let alone the whole church. But Jared told me to pray and think about it, so I did. I was at first very hesitant and was going to say that I couldn't do it, but as time went on, I felt really called by God to say yes, so I did. And it turns out that being able to get up and share about how God had worked through that week has been one of the best experiences I've had. I've been wanting to be baptized for the past few years, but because of my hesitation, I haven't. But today I get to publicly declare that I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm excited to see how he'll use my life for his glory.
The exact quote, actually, when I asked Kaylin to speak about for the summer service, she said, "Is there anybody else?" But if you were there, she did an incredible job. So, Kaylin, is it your desire today to testify that relationship with Jesus Christ through baptism?
Yes.
Oh, it's my absolute joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death. Likeness of his resurrection. Next up, we have Liv. Yeah. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear that. I gotta shut up.
I'm Liv, and this is my story. It didn't begin with a light bulb moment, but a gentle, quiet, and kind voice calling me to friendship. I can't pinpoint exactly how old I was, but I was young, and Jesus found me and gave me a desire to know him and love him before I could understand what he'd done for me, or really even that much about the Bible or his character. I thank him for that because I feel like I got to know him in the truest of ways and really authentically. Even though my circumstances didn't change, I had a friend that endured them with me, and he protected me, giving me hope, but also someone to cry to. Without the Lord and his love for me, I'm not sure how I would have gotten through. In high school, I started attending church with one of my dearest friends, and there I met the most incredible people who taught me a lot, and they really became my family and close friends, and I wasn't alone anymore. It's hard to put into words how thankful I am for them and how they care for me. I started to grasp the truth of God's love for me and what Jesus did on the cross for me there. He didn't die only for the sins done to me, but the sins that I have also committed. For college, I attended Word of Life in upstate New York. Overall, I had a really great experience there, and I learned a lot and grew a lot and made steadfast friends. Toward the end of that year, though, 4 years ago this month, I fell off a skateboard, resulting in a serious brain injury. I don't remember much of the days and weeks following, but I do remember waking up the next day and knowing that something terrible had happened. I found out later that people had been praying for me all night. Learning that deeply moved my soul, and I always remember that as a really, really powerful testimony to the power of prayer. I remember saying, I think it was as if Jesus himself lied on the pavement that night and cushioned my fall. It was a miracle, and I still believe that, but what was ahead of me was harder than I could have predicted, and it changed the trajectory of the life that I had in mind for myself. I've had migraines every day since, and it's been a long, hard journey of recovery. I battled anxiety before in my childhood and teen years, but after the accident, it felt like a war. It's consuming at times, and I feel at war with myself even. This is still a struggle for me at times, but I know that what the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. I've tried to grip as tightly as I can to that truth. It's not easy, and to be honest, even though he knows his plan, I don't think it's necessarily easy for our good Father in heaven to watch his children suffer. I don't understand what God is doing a lot of the time, but what's beautiful is that I get to enjoy him in understanding and in doubt. I've learned that faith does not require us to deny reality, and I can rejoice in him because he knows how he will use me in my suffering. And I can rejoice because he is with me here and now. I want to be baptized because I want to be obedient to Christ and what he has called me to do. He is my friend, Savior, and Lord of all.
Liv, is it your desire today to publicly testify that relationship through baptism?
Yes.
It is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death. In the likeness of his resurrection. Zach is going to join me down here. If you see people's reactions, it's not cold, it's just a little uncomfortably hot, honestly. Zach, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about that story.
Hi, I'm Zach, and this is my testimony. So, I came to the realization that I needed Christ in my life after attending so many church events at this church, and like VBS, soccer camp. I just felt so called to Christ there. He really like showed me the dark I was living in, and he showed me like the joy that the other kids had in Christ and how community is strong. And when I really stepped into the light was a few years ago, early teen years. One of my best friends introduced me to a Bible camp in New York, and I mean, this place was amazing. It truly just opened my eyes, opened my heart to Lord, and I just saw how amazing he was and the community. I loved it, brought me so much joy. And it was around that time where I was constantly praying to Jesus, allowing me to let him in my life and just take it away. And I am here for him, and I am ready for a life of Christ. I'm getting baptized because every time I'm sitting and praying, I'm feeling just God calling me and calling me. He says, Zach, go get baptized, that you are ready for this in your life, and this is the next step you need to take. And after it is over, you will just feel the joy, and you will be able to spread it with everyone around you.
Zach, is it your desire today to testify that relationship through baptism?
Yes.
It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death.
Likeness of his resurrection.
Next up, we have Maya. Maya, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, let's hear about it.
Hi, I'm Maya Faith, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home and accepted Jesus at a young age, so I've known about him pretty much my whole life. But even though I've known about him for a while, I didn't start truly having a relationship with him until about 2 to 3 years ago. There were a lot of things that happened that year back to back that kind of made it feel like God had forgotten about me or that he didn't want the best for me. But then that same summer, I went on a lot of missions trips with a couple different churches, one of them being the trip to Panther, West Virginia with the youth group here at FCC. The area there is pretty poor, so we go there to help by fixing up people's houses. And even though the people there don't have as much as we do here back at home, they're still some of the most generous and joyful people I've been around. And being surrounded by people whose joy and faith in God isn't affected by their circumstances made me realize that even though I'm going to have struggles in my life and it's going to be hard to go through those things, I'm also always going to have a God that's so much bigger than those things. And it's just my choice if I want to ask him for help in the midst of those struggles or if I want to keep trying to do it on my own. My favorite verse is Matthew 6:28, and it says, "Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin." I realize that if God put so much time and effort into caring for flowers, that he cared for me so much more. Another one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 60:22, and it says, "When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen." Even though we usually can't see it at the time, God will show us his purpose when he knows the time is right. Since then, my relationship with God has gotten so much better. It's not perfect, but it's been constant. I want to get baptized today to show that I'm going to keep choosing God, and that no matter what changes in my life, I know that he never will.
Maya, is it your desire today to publicly testify that relationship through baptism?
Yes.
It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the likeness of his death.
The likeness of his resurrection.
Next up we have Sophia. Sophia, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Let's hear about that story.
Hi, my name is Sophia Plante. I'm 16 and I'm a sophomore in high school. I was born to a Christian home and I've gone to church for as long as I can remember. I go to church every Sunday and go to youth group every Sunday night, but I wouldn't really take anything out of it or apply it to my life. Sunday was kind of like my faith day and the rest of the week would be as if I never really knew God. I never opened my Bible and I rarely ever prayed. This continued about till I was about 12 years old. And my dad asked me if I'd ever accepted Jesus into my life, and I said no. So we sat at the kitchen table and we recited the prayer together. Nothing really changed in my life after that. I still really wasn't praying as much, and I just didn't really have a full connection with God. It wasn't until this past summer that I started really growing in my faith. Me and my family started attending this church about a year and a half ago. And ever since I've been attending this church, I've been hearing people talk about the youth missions trip to Panther, West Virginia, where youth would work alongside people to help them rebuild their houses and fix up their houses. And even though people mentioned things like cold showers and not being able to flush the toilets, I knew that I wanted to go on that trip and serve others. When that summer came, I was still in the same place as my faith as before. I had just moved churches that year, so I didn't really have many friends. I would read my Bible only when I felt like it, and I would only pray when I really needed something. The week of Panther really changed my life for the better. I was surrounded by an amazing community of people, and they were really welcoming, and they just encouraged me to grow in my faith and make my faith my own. It was an opportunity that I never had before, and it was just truly life-changing. And I even learned how to put shingles on a roof and frame a house. And I felt the presence of the Lord that week more than I ever have before. After that trip, I was really lit on fire for God, and I really just wanted to continue to get to know him more and grow my relationship with him more. I started reading my Bible regularly and going to Bible studies with my friends. Jesus has changed my life from living a constant sin and having no motivation to always wanting to read my Bible and just grow my relationship with him. I'm going to get baptized and publicly declare my faith because I believe that God can truly make a positive impact on your life, and I want to devote my everyday life to him and be a light to others.
You can flush the toilets, you just can't flush toilet paper down the toilet. So it's, you know, and cold showers make you tougher, so. Sophia, is it your desire today to publicly testify of that relationship in your faith through baptism?
Yes.
It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death.
Likeness of his resurrection.
Next up, we have Brinley. Brinley, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
Let's hear about it.
Hi, my name is Brinley Green, and this is my testimony. I accepted God into my life at a really young age. I grew up in a pretty Christian household where I would go to church every Sunday and read my Bible and everything like that. But when I accepted God into my life, I never really truly committed to that. And I kind of just was touch and go and would like come to church and youth group and everything, but never really let him into my life outside of that. When I came into high school, I entered a spot in my life where I kind of lost God and lost my faith in him because everything in my life started falling apart. I entered a stage in my life where I was kind of overtaken by a few disorders that entered my life, where it was functional neurological disorder and chronic migraines. And it started out with just migraines where I could kind of, it like affected my life, but I was able to move past that. But functional neurological disorder kind of, it like gave me these episodes where I would wake up and enter some type of seizure where I couldn't move, I couldn't talk, I couldn't really like respond in any way. Like my mom would like sit, like ask me a question and I just couldn't talk, but I would remember it all. And I would like be present mentally, but I just couldn't say anything. And it was really difficult for me because I would have to experience that almost every day. It like started taking a toll on my mental health because obviously my physical health wasn't too good at the time because I was stuck in that that series of episodes. So I ended up spending some of my sophomore and junior year just on homebound doing tutoring and everything, which isn't quite ideal for a high school experience. As I went through this, I remember thinking over and over again, like questioning God, like, how could you do this to me? Because personally, like going through it, I would never wish this on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on like anyone existing because I just knew how bad it was and how miserable it made my life. And I would just constantly question him, like, how could you do that to me? Like, you say you love me, but it isn't really showing to me. And eventually I had this one particular friend who, she saw me in my lowest of lows where I was stuck in these medical stages and medical episodes, and she was able to just like step out of her way to pray for me and show me that I was loved, which may have been like an easy thing for her to do, but to me it meant so much just because it was like, okay, like I'm not alone, like God is looking out for me and he is working in me. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9 says this: "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." This just kind of made me realize that I ran out of strength so that I could find his and find purpose in my life through him and not through myself or worldly things. I personally would have never chosen this path or this suffering for me or anyone else, but God used it in my life to use it as a way to fully depend on him and just like realize that he was the one behind it all and that he had a reason to bring me back to him, because he just went after me even though I was so lost and so gone. He was just trying to reach out and grab me. So I ended up going to a rehabilitation program where I would do these calls where they would kind of teach me how to reset like my brain and my whole functioning like part to teach it how to respond. And I was able to fully go back in school now, and I'm applying to colleges, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going next, but I was fully able to come back up from that, and I haven't had an episode in probably about like 8 months now, which is really big because it used to be every single day. And I could fully see God through that all and just see how he wasn't, like, he was using this as something. It wasn't just to put me through pain and suffering, it was to build something out of it and show me that I'm not alone and that God is with me even through the worst of it. Today I'm getting baptized, not because my life is perfect, but because Jesus never stopped working in me even when I felt like I had nothing left. I want others to know that I'm choosing God because he never stopped choosing me, and that he has the ability to work in wondrous ways, and that he is working in your life even when you don't see it.
Brinley, is it your desire today to publicly testify that faith through baptism?
Yeah.
It is my absolute joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the likeness of his death, the
likeness of his resurrection.
Skylar's going to be joining us next. Skylar, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Let's hear about it.
Hi, my name is Skylar Worrell. I'm a junior in high school, and this is my testimony. I grew up going to FCC and doing everything and anything they had to offer. From BBS, Saleo, youth group, anything they had, I was doing it. I gave my life to Christ around the age of 6 years old, but I didn't truly understand who he was and all he had done for me. I was a really outgoing, bubbly kid until COVID hit. And not only did the world shut down, but so did I. Anxiety had hit me from every angle, daily panic attacks of me being so scared of even just myself. I kept asking the Lord why he was allowing my thoughts to win, now knowing I was letting them win. I only went to the Lord when things went bad. And after a while of the Lord not answering things on my time and on his, I stopped going to him. Because of that, my anxiety got worse. Freshman year started and I'd never been so alone. The little friends I had were either pointing out things about my body and insecurities or leaving me to get drunk on the weekends. I started to self-harm because I thought no one liked me, why should I? My Bible stayed closed and I'd go to church on Sundays, but my faith stayed there on Sundays and it didn't go elsewhere. Even though I hardly believed in the Lord at the time, I was still crying out to him every night just to give me some good Christian friends. Freshman year, I thought I'd reach rock bottom, but sophomore year, I found out there was a basement. I started to self-harm where I couldn't go more than 2 days without relapsing. Self-harm then turned into suicidal thoughts. I was so lost, I didn't even know who I was. The Lord had blessed me with some really good Christian friends, but because of my mental struggles, I started to distance myself, causing me to lose the little I had. I was going to youth group and church every week, but to me, it was to get my church points. If I was going to church and youth group, it looked like I was a Christian to the people who knew me. My faith stayed the same. I walked in and out of church the same person as I was the week before. Nothing had changed. February rolls around and it's my final straw. FCC had its winter weekend, which is a 3-day retreat away from home. I knew I was gonna take my life soon after if the Lord hadn't shown me a sign to stay. 2 days had gone by and I hadn't felt the Lord at all. I knew I was gonna take my life soon. On the last day, we were all packed up, ready to go, but before we left, we sang worship. We sang Run to the Father, and I just broke down. For once, I wasn't running away from the Father, but I was running to him. There's no words to describe how at peace and how loved I felt in that moment. For once, I wasn't asking the Lord to take me out of this life, but I was thanking him for keeping me in it. I was so distant from the Lord throughout that time, and I struggled so badly. I am now clean of self-harm for months, and I haven't had suicidal thoughts in over a year. Since February of last year, I have taken my faith seriously. My Bible has never been more full, and I've never had a better relationship with the Lord. The Lord has blessed me with some really amazing Christian friends who love the Lord just as much as I do, if not more, and I get to say are also getting baptized today. The Lord is the only one who is with you through thick and thin. He found me at my lowest point and welcomes me with open arms, even after I turned away from him for so long. He never leaves you, even when you think he has. I'm so excited to publicly proclaim my faith in Jesus Christ, because he found me in the dark, and he is the light. Thank you.
Skylar, is it your desire today to publicly testify that faith in Jesus Christ through baptism?
Yes.
It's my absolute joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the likeness of his death. The likeness of his resurrection. Olive Katolka is going to come and join me next. Olive, have you received Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to hear about that.
Hello, my name is Olive Katolka. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home with parents who encouraged my walk with Christ. We went to church every Sunday. We prayed all the time. They really just tried their best to make sure that I was in the Word constantly, following God's law. But in fourth grade, my teacher, Ms. Romano, was teaching our class about just how important it is to give your life to Christ, the benefits that can come with it, how hard it can be, but how amazing your life can turn out from it. So during the class, I did like actually start crying, and I was like, I need to get saved. This has to be my priority. So I asked my teacher, when all my friends were at recess, if I could get saved, if she would do the prayer with me. And we did it, and ever since then, I have given my life to Christ fully. But as I've gotten older, I realized that like life isn't always easy, and there's just so many things that can go wrong. And I didn't really, when I was thinking about these like wrong things that could happen, I didn't really think about how God was still with me and he could just always be there to protect me. So I had this really, really bad anxiety around sixth or seventh grade that I would like get killed or like die in my sleep. And it got to the point where I genuinely could not breathe in my sleep. It affected just the amount of sleep I got. And it doesn't sound that serious, but at the moment it was pretty bad. So I didn't really understand that he was always there to protect us. So eventually it went away because I would pray to God every night just to keep his like right hand over me all night, to keep me protected throughout the night, give me good sleep. And it worked. I felt God work in my life in that way. But then in the summer, right before eighth grade, a kid in my class named Seth Rice passed away. And when I heard he passed away, I think it was just total shock for me. Just knowing how we're not promised tomorrow, how it could, like, our lives could end at any time, like, for example, Seth. So I think that strengthened my relationship with God. And I do have my moments here and there where I don't really feel like I'm serving God to my full potential, but I do hope that I can just grow in my faith and grow as a servant in Christ and serve others, serve the Lord, create new disciples. As I grow older, I pray I can get deeper in the Word. I can understand what God is telling me, and that my walk with Christ can just get easier, even though I know it'll get harder at points. I want to get baptized today to show other people how much I love God, how much I love Jesus. I just want to pronounce my faith in Christ to others, and I want to show them that even if you have bad anxiety, even if you're fearful, if you doubt everything, God is still there for you, and he can just lead you in the right path all the time. So that is my testimony.
I think there's a fan over there with that's a picture of you on it. That's great. Okay. Olive, is it your desire to publicly testify of your faith through baptism?
Yes.
All right. Olive, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the likeness of his death, in the likeness of his resurrection. You're welcome. Okay, last one. We have Olivia Candy coming to join me. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
All right, we're going to hear about that.
Hi, my name is Olivia Candy, and I'm here to share with you my testimony this morning. I was raised in a Christian home, and at a young age, I understood that I made mistakes, and I was sinful, and that I needed Jesus in my life. So I accepted him into my heart at 5 years old. Through the years, God so clearly placed people in my life that I needed at the time. His love for me was very apparent. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease when I was in first grade. I missed most of the school year, but the school assigned me a teacher to come after school to do home assignment. She went with me every day. God provided me with family, friends, and teachers to point me to Jesus along the way. When I started middle school, I realized my friendships weren't headed in the right direction. Around that time, I started reading and studying his word more in the mornings. I wanted to be a part of the popular group at school, but God showed me that he was enough for me. He was there all along. During that time, God led us to King's Christian School and provided me with new friendships that brought me closer to the Lord. In class, I realized I didn't know as much as I thought I did about the Bible. I would get down on myself for not knowing as much as everyone else. But God allowed me to see that I didn't need to have everything figured out in order to have a relationship with him. I want to get baptized today to share with everyone how I've grown to know the Lord and to encourage people who are holding back on getting baptized that every story matters and Jesus works with people in different ways, but still has the same purpose, to save us from our sins. I want to share my favorite song by Josiah Queen, and it's called Adonai. I've been losing sleep, trying to be all the things that I'm not. Now all I want to be is to be seen by the God of my life. I don't fully understand, but I'm only just a man. Adonai, Adonai, Lord of my life. I throw up my hands, fall into your plans, because I just want to be your delight. Adonai, Adonai, Lord of my life. I don't know what God has in store for me, but I know that he'll be with me throughout my life, because he was with me then, now, and always.
Liv, is it your desire to testify publicly to your faith in Christ this morning through baptism?
Yes.
Okay. Liv, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in likeness of his death, in likeness of his resurrection.
Hey man, what a good day to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I just want to encourage you, if you're visiting here this morning or just happen to be here, man, you heard these stories, you are not alone. You're not the only one scared in the room. You're not the only one hurting or in pain. There is a good Father who is there, and their story can be your story. There is a real hope, and our Jesus is alive, and we're going to continue to worship and sing about it. So stand up, let's go.